build a tent. This show is not about tent building. It's a podcast on how to make you successful. Thank you for listening to the show, watching the show, sharing the show with a friend. Feel free to just hit that share button right now, wherever you are listening on iTunes, listening on YouTube, on the social media sites when we live stream 12 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you so much in advance for doing that. That is such a blessing to me to see people sharing the show. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com, put in HGBT in the memo field. You'll get a great mug, you get tons of benefits, and most of all, you'll be helping and investing in the work that God is doing. There's nothing better than that. If you have any questions, comments, topics you want me to discuss, career advice that you would like, you can find me at, you can find me on the email, or you can email me is probably the best way to say that, matt@howtobuildatent.com. You can also find me on the social media sites at How to Build a Tent. I'd love to hear from you and love to see what the Lord is doing in your life. Love to hear about it and be able to find out more about you. So feel free to reach out. I look forward to hearing about that. So there's a few different things I want to talk about today. One of them is this incredible story about Wendy's and spicy chicken nuggets. Another one is Under Armour and their three-year plan that they've had to pivot the company and some of the things and lessons that we can learn from this pivot on how we should always be thinking as small business or large business companies, just like Under Armour is. I think that's a great company overall. And then some amazing medical advancements and some statistics on that that I want to touch on today that might be just something that is interesting, cool, fascinating to think about, and also could be some great investing opportunities. So make sure you stay to the end of the show to be able to see the trading symbols of some of these stocks that are going to be having some big influence in the medical industry and the growing sector that is just going to be booming, according to a Morgan Stanley Bank of America Merrill Lynch. It wasn't Morgan Stanley. This industry is going to grow up to $600 billion by 2025. Incredible. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The first one is the Wendy story. And there's just a few different aspects of this that I want to get into. And I'm pulling the story up on my phone. It's from CNN. No, I don't want the news. It's Wendy's. And Wendy's has kind of been a notorious social marketing campaign. The social media managers over there do a really great job. They're kind of sassy. And people just love the Wendy's social media accounts, especially their Twitter account. And this starts off with not Wendy's, but Chance the Rapper. And he says this, positive affirmations for today. I will have a good day. I will succeed today. And Wendy's will bring back spicy chicken nuggets or back spicy nuggets at home point. I'm sorry. Let me just reread this again. Positive affirmations for today. I will have a good day. I will succeed today. Wendy's will bring back spicy nuggets at some point. Please, please, Lord, let it be. And then Wendy's decided to capitalize on this, which is great marketing for them. It's a great strategy to have. Whenever you have big names like Chance the Rapper, celebrities commenting on your brand, you want to make the most of it. It is so hard to get breaks in this life. When you get one, you need to take full advantage of it. And you also need to be prepared to be able to take full advantage of it as well. And so this Wendy's retweeted it and said, y'all keep asking, so here's your chance. The people in charge say, if you guys can get our tweet, this one right here, to 2 million likes, they will bring spicy chicken nuggets back. Let's freaking do this. Now, I'm not too sure about the let's freaking do this part of it, but I'm not going to be criticizing because what they're doing is working and they should keep on doing it, even if they have some really unprofessional kind of language. Let's freaking do this. But, you know, they're appealing to a demographic and they think that plays. And apparently it does, because that as of 9:50 a.m. May 4th, they got 2.2 million likes for this tweet to bring back the nuggets. And I think that's it. So they are going to bring back the spicy chicken nuggets. And it is just incredible to me on so many different levels because the social media, the power of social media is absolutely amazing. And I want you to keep this in mind, the power of social media and being able to leverage it just like Wendy's did. Okay, my video is saved. Just wanted to make sure it was saving. So there's tons of companies that are leveraging social media that are able to build up a brand. And you can do the same. And some great ways to do this, if you're not a big brand like Wendy's that has a lot of followers, is to try to piggyback and get the attention of other people with big Twitter followings. Get them to interact with you, get them to comment, get them to participate in a dialogue, to mention your product. There's a number of different ways to do this, and a lot of times people even get paid for it. There was a time where I was in the sports world, and there were athletes, the people that are like in the NFL, NHL, and things like that, that have agents that go around trying to make their money. Because agents make some of that money, and a lot of them will sell mentions on their Twitter account or on their social media sites, and the larger following they have, the more money they can make. And a lot of times you'll hook up with them and make a deal. Sometimes they want revenue sharing, sometimes it's a flat fee, sometimes it's a both, sometimes it's both. And that could be a great opportunity for you if you are looking for ways to promote yourself, to build up a following on social media sites, to get your brand awareness out there. You might want to look into contacting a celebrity that kind of aligns with the values that you have. Also, it just really made me have faith in the voting process, because a lot of times it feels like, man, what's just my one vote going to do? But we see just with one like, 2.2 million people brought back chicken nuggets from a company. That is, they are going to start selling them again. And it's a brilliant strategy by Wendy's. Sorry, I was kind of squeezing my nose if you hear me talking like this for a second. And the power of it is absolutely amazing that a company discontinued a product and it was brought back because over 2 million people asked for it. And there's so much to unpack here. It's like, well, obviously, if they were like that much, what happened? Like, why did they take them away? Why were sales so low? And why were sales like obviously indicating that they should discontinue the product? And then also like to think about all that had to go on in the back end of Wendy's to get this to happen. The social media department had to go talk to the leadership in procurement or purchasing or strategy. I don't know who decides what menu items to put on the menu for fast food, but whoever it is, like this required a lot of meetings, a lot of strategy, a lot of decision making, a lot of networking, a lot of relationships to have the social media account put a product back on the menu. And that just, I think, speaks to, in a really positive way, with the Wendy's team over there and just the company and how they run, to be able to pull this off and to get it done. And to the voting thing again, it's like your vote does matter. Even in Twitter, you can get a company, a huge company like Wendy's, to change their product mix to include an item that they discontinued. Absolutely amazing story to me on so many levels, especially when you think of it from a business perspective. The next thing I wanted to talk about today was Under Armour. Now, they're a great company. I love it. I love their products. They do a lot of great work. They're a global company. They do a lot of sales in multiple countries, and they have their products made in a lot of different countries. And they have found themselves, even though they are a successful company, right, that they need to reinvent themselves. And they've been under a 3-year transformation that is just about to come to an end, that from all accounts, it seems like they did a pretty successful job of reinventing themselves. Just like products have a life cycle, oftentimes businesses have a life cycle, and oftentimes businesses and brands need to reinvent themselves. I just saw the Sears rebranded image, the new logo that they're coming out with. Everyone thought it looked like the Airbnb logo. It's pretty funny. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. But companies are constantly trying to reinvent themselves, not just companies that are failing, but companies that are successful, because in order to maintain that success, to grow in the future, to have steady growth, to be able to capitalize on the future, you need to reinvent yourself. You need to be changing. You always need to be thinking of new ways to increase your profits, increase your sales. And Under Armour is just a great story about this. And one of the things that I just really admire about him is they know how to win. They know how to win. I said wind like wind. Kevin Plank is the CEO, and he says, we need to grow in North America if we're going to win. It's not this abstract strategy. It's not this abstract point of view. It's not ambiguous, but he has clearly stated what needs to happen for Under Armour to win, and that is to grow in North America. And if you pay attention at all to international companies, a lot of the attention is put onto emerging markets and foreign countries because a lot of these companies that are global now have really grown as much as they can in America, and so they have to find growth in other places, and they're doing it in emerging markets like China, India, Africa sometimes. And they, like my good old company I mention a lot, Netflix, is their major driver of growth is going to be coming from international markets and not North America, because they've already grown so much in North America that it's like they're a victim of their own success in some ways. But Under Armour says they need to figure out ways to grow in North America, which is an interesting perspective for a global company. Another thing that they do that I really like is they have simplified objectives. They want to do four things. As they said, amplify company brand. They want to amplify the brand. Two, optimize operations around premium products. So they're like pushing these premium products to get a better, no doubt those are the high margin products they have. They want to build better connections to customers. And they want to drive sustainable and long-term growth. And this is kind of a transition that you see with companies in different segments. You want hyper growth when you're in the beginning stages of a company. But then when you start growing and maturing, you want to figure out ways to have more steady long-term growth. You're not looking for those big jumps, but you're looking for that consistent, common growth year over year. And that's just one of the growing up processes of a company. The objectives, the high level, the vision, the strategy should be simple, just like this, clearly stated. Anyone can understand those objectives, those high level strategies. We know what it means by amplifying a brand. We know what it means to optimize operations. We know what it means to build connections and to have long-term growth. It's not a mystery. It doesn't take a business degree to figure that out. Now, the tactics and the execution of that can be super complex, and there can be a lot that goes into it. But as a leader, as someone setting vision, as a company speaking to the public of a publicly traded company, you want clear objectives, not just that your company and your employees can understand and buy into and calibrate what they're doing to fit those objectives, but you want your investors, you want the market to understand it as well, because you need money. And when you're a publicly traded company, you need investors and you need them to like you. And one way to do that is to have clear objectives, because if no one understands where you're going, your stock price is not going to do really well. Another thing that they're doing is reducing their inventory by 24%. No doubt these are products that aren't contributing to their high margin mix, where these products are probably not as profitable for them. And that's the thing that you have to pay attention to in business, because we all have limited resources. And why would you spend money on products that aren't high margin when you do have products that you can take that those limited resources and put it towards that and become more efficient, grow those margins, grow those sales? So I think that is a really great move. And they are also looking to increase their gross margins by 100 basis points, which sounds big. It's really 1%. 100 basis point is a percentage. So if you see someone that says they grew 100 basis points, that sounds really great. Like, oh, they doubled? No, they just grew by 1%. But they have grown their margins by 1%, which a mature company, that is really great news. And what gross margins is, for those of you who haven't taken accounting, it's your net sales minus your cost of goods sold. The other thing that they're doing, and this is like we're entering a warehouse era where everyone is getting warehouse space, because what you need with a strong e-commerce strategy and a strong online sales is you need a way to ship it and have logistics. And one of the ways that big companies are doing that is by building warehouses and distribution centers. So they're going to be opening up one in Maryland. Another thing they're doing is they are opening up and pushing their product in India. And one of the things that they said, it was the article, the author of the article was writing about that said, I thought was absolutely interesting, is that India will soon have the youngest population in the world. Something to think about, has a huge population, and it's gonna have the youngest population in the world too. Now, if you have a product or a service that is tailored to a younger generation and you're looking for areas of growth, you might want to check out maybe looking at India and seeing what opportunities are there. No doubt that they have become, well, at least some part of their population, I'm sure a lot of them are still poor, but have benefited from all the offshoring from America, from other countries there. So people have money over there. There are some very prosperous areas where you could probably grow some of your revenue. So take a look, think about it. Maybe that's an option for you. Another thing that they're doing is they are slashing production from 30% to 15% in China because of this trade war. Another company that is not waiting for a resolution, but is moving their products from China to another country. Vietnam is one. Oh, no, that's not it. That was another company. But that is just another indicator that Trump is getting more and more leverage, which has tons of implications when we think about investing and what is the whole trade talks and all that going to happen. Is there going to be a positive resolution or not? The more pressure that the U.S. can put on China, the better off we're going to be. And the more that China is in a bad position, the more they're going to concede their demands. Even though it seems like they've reneged on a bunch of different stuff and they've gone back on their promises, which isn't surprising, the whole point of this is to find a way to get them to stop stealing our stuff, basically. At least that's my opinion on it. And then I just put in bold, the last thing I wanted to underscore about Under Armour is never feel like you don't need to improve anymore. Never feel like your company is going to be good enough. Long gone are the days where a mom and pop store can just stay in business for their life, 40 or 50 years. Technology is moving too fast, as we're going to see in a second. The economy has completely changed. We don't live in the world that we used to live in. If you have a company, you have to constantly be looking for ways to improve it, because technology is lowering barriers to entry in so many ways that there are no doubt going to be competitors rising up wanting to take your business, and you are going to have to find ways to reinvent yourself, even if you're successful, like Under Armour has been. All right, now I want to leave us with a positive story, something that's uplifting, that's encouraging. And this is the headline that I saw. Human lifespan will soon surpass 100 years. The average lifespan of a human will soon surpass 100 years. That is absolutely amazing. You think about just 100 years ago, I think it was like in the 60s, 55, 60 years old. I mean, this is really great news for us as humans. Bad news for Social Security, because Social Security is just a disaster and is never planned for people to live 100 years. But absolutely amazing that how fast technology is advancing. They attribute it to people eating better, the healthcare is improving with the technology. And this is the interesting thing from a business perspective. In 2019, the industry is at about $110 billion. But in 2025, it's going to grow to $600 billion. In 6 years, it's going to grow by 6x. That's a lot of growth, but $600 billion, which means, from an investing standpoint, it might be a great opportunity to look into some of these industries. Now, personally, I don't invest in the medical devices field or pharmaceuticals. I don't get the industry. I haven't taken the time to learn it. And to me, it seems very hit or miss and like really crazy gambling. And maybe some of you have had better experiences. I'd love to hear that if you want to kind of show me the ropes of the pharmaceutical investment world. But there are a lot of great advancements happening, and there are a lot of companies that you could invest in. Alphabet is one of them, you know, the parent company of Google. And some other ones, Illumina, Novartis, Agilent, Danaher. I think I'm saying those names right. All things you might want to look into. And this is just an amazing statistic that I wanted to share with you guys. And it says the medical knowledge will double every 73 days by 2020. Medical knowledge will double every 73 days by 2020 versus the 3.5 years in 2010. So medical knowledge doubled every 3.5 years in 2010. Doubled. Like everything we knew and twice as much every 3.5 years. But it's to a point by 2020 that every 73 days our knowledge will double. And if you know anything about like compounding interest and the magic of investing, that you double and then the next double is a bigger double than the first double, because then you have double. That's probably super confusing. But like if you double 2, then you get 4. If you double 4, you get 8. And it just exponentially grows more and more. So the fact that we are doubling knowledge every 73 days by 2020 is amazing. And then this is another fact. The genomic, I don't know, whatever the sequence is for, like, you do DNA research and you align all of the genes in your DNA and doing that kind of stuff. I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert by any means. The cost of doing that has fallen 99.99%. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't know exactly all the details of what that means of ordering DNA and like finding out cures based on DNA and structure, DNA structure and all that stuff. But I do know its cost. And the cost, when it drops 99.99% since 2003, that means there is going to be a lot more medical advancements because you're able to do a lot more because it's so much cheaper. If something cost $1,000 yesterday, but it cost $1 today, you can do it 1,000 times more for the same cost. And with a drop of 99.99% of the cost, that is absolutely amazing. So there are going to be tons of medical advancements coming out. Some of those companies I listed, if you could find the train symbols based on my poor pronunciation of them, you might want to look into them. Again, I don't invest in them. I think they're risky stocks, but there are a lot of amazing medical advancements happening. There is a big growth in the industry that everyone is expecting. And so there just might be an opportunity for some small business or investing there. All right, so those are the three stories. Now let's take this and go out and be successful.